Can you imagine being in a situation where you're dying of thirst, though actually you're surrounded by fresh water that you can drink? You just don't know it? This seems to have happened in an event that happened some time ago, at least. I couldn't tell this event actually happened, but it certainly could have. That some time ago, there was a ship of Spanish sailors that set out from Spain to cross the Atlantic heading to South America. And they ran into storms and delays. And so it was that by the time they caught sight of land, actually their freshwater supplies had completely run out. And of course they knew they couldn't drink the salt water. And they could tell they were near the continent they'd been heading toward, but they weren't there yet. And a number of them were in a very bad situation with regard to dehydration. So of course they were very joyful when they saw a ship, a local ship, and they called out to them, "We need fresh water." And the response came back, "Just put down your buckets and draw it in." And they're like, "No, no, no, fresh water." But what they didn't realize was that they were at the mouth of the Amazon River, which is possible because that mouth, depending on how you measure it, is 200 miles wide. And it puts out so much fresh water into the ocean that the plume goes 200 miles out. So that while they thought they were in salt water just off the coasts of the continent, in fact, there was fresh water all around them. And all they had to do was put down their buckets and draw it in. But imagine if they'd never done that and died of thirst, not knowing that what they needed was right next to them. This has to do with the questions that our Lord Jesus asks his disciples in this gospel reading, because he wants to make sure that they know who he is so that they can put out their buckets and receive what he wants to offer them to satisfy their thirst. And so we see that he asks them two questions. And they're questions we need to consider as well. First, he asks them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And from the responses that come back, we can tell that the crowds were picking up some truth about Jesus. They could tell that something special was going on with him, so that they had begun to say, maybe this is one of the prophets. And indeed, in their response, we could see that some of them were saying, maybe this is one of the really special prophets. And of course, the crowds were right. And because they were right, they were coming to hear him speak and receive healing. The disciples, too, surely knew this, and so they were following him and listening to him, learning from him. They were right, but they needed to know more, like those sailors needed to know more. So our Lord Jesus seeks to draw it out of them. "Who do you say that I am?" And the Father, working within St. Peter's heart, helps him to put some things together and to go much further in truth and to say, "You are the Christ of God." That is the Messiah, the one and only special anointed one that they've been anticipating that God would send, and they realized, here he is, not just one of many, but the one. And once Jesus has drawn Peter and the others to recognize this truth, well, then he can go still further. As he tells them about how he will need to suffer and die and rise from the dead, he tells them this partly because he needs to correct some of their misconceptions about the Messiah. He'll not be being a military leader fighting the Romans. He'll be bringing about salvation in a different way. But surely there's another reason, that only once they have discovered the truth about who he is, can they then begin to take in the surprising and initially difficult news about how he's going to do it. Only now can they begin to accept that he's going to be crucified as the worst criminal, that he will rise from the dead, that he'll be calling them to astonishing, sacrificial, sometimes painful lives, but that this will be the way in which he satisfies their thirst and the thirst of the whole world. for we heard in the first reading this remarkable juxtaposition, how there'd be one who would be pierced, and yet in this very way, this would pour forth this amazing fountain that would bring forgiveness and cleansing. And this is exactly what would happen upon the cross, and we think about this in this month when we think of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, how as the soldier pierced his side with the lance, and as his heart was pierced, they poured forth blood and water. And thus we see the pouring forth in his love what we need to satisfy our thirst. So as he asked the disciples those two questions, so too we need to hear him asking them of us. Who do the crowds, not the crowds in the first century in the Holy Land, but the crowds now in the 21st century here in Maryland, here in the United States, who do the crowds say that I am? The crowds know something about Jesus. And surely all of us here know something about Jesus. To think about that answer of what the crowds might say, it might be good to think of one of the questions that came to me in the question boxes from the middle school. As one student wrote on one of the pieces of paper, can't all religions be true? And in this, we might begin to hear something of what the crowds say. The crowds looking at all different religions and religious leaders might see something in common. And looking at Jesus and the church he founded might see this thing in common. So they might say, oh, I see that this is a community that is gathered around a leader and listens to wisdom and joins in reverent worship and seeks to shape their life around moral goodness. I see this as I see it in all other religions. And if this is what the crowd sees in Jesus, well, this is a truth. It's a partial truth, much like the first century people saw a partial truth. And it's possible that we too see that partial truth and respond to it by drawing near like the disciples, saying, I'd like some of that wisdom. I'd like some structure in my life. I'd like a good place and a good group of people to raise my family in. I'd like some of that. So just like the crowds and the disciples of the first century, it's true, it's a part. But just like those disciples, if that's all we know, if that's all we think we're getting, if that's all we think we're doing, well, then we could be like those sailors. Because like those sailors, as much as we need those things, we have a far deeper thirst, far deeper. It may be a thirst for love, or for truth, for meaning, for healing, for strength that we need, or for peace, or for patience. Any of these things, or for more, we might have a strong, strong thirst. And we might be seeking to satisfy that thirst in many ways. Through building ourselves up in pride, through making ourselves look good for other people, to seek to get it from other people, or perhaps to seek to get it in things. All sorts of addictive behaviors may have people seeking to satisfy their thirst by desperately drinking in something, when in fact, what actually will satisfy it is all around us. Because here we are, coming into the presence of our Lord Jesus at Mass. And when we know who he is, not merely one more religious leader reaching out to live a good life, reaching out to find God, as good as that might be, but instead, God himself reaching out to us to teach, to heal, to feed, and to satisfy thirst. Only then will we know that we can put down our buckets right here from him and satisfy those thirsts. There are so many ways to put down that bucket, but three quick ways. One of those is to come here into his presence, the Blessed Sacrament, often, such as to weekday Mass, or even on a weekday when Mass isn't going on, to be here with him, to be in his presence in a full way, to listen to him and speak to him. Let him tell us who he is and satisfy that thirst. A second way is to listen to him in the Gospels. A good way to do that would be to take the Gospel of Luke, which we're reading through this year. Take just a section each day, a paragraph, it might be 10 verses or so. Take 10 minutes, read it slowly, reflect upon it, allow us to hear his voice, hear who he is, and speak to him. A third way might be the Summer of Faith series happening on Tuesday evenings during the summer. In these and so many other ways, if we don't know it already, we can let him tell us who he is, not just one more of something, but the one who can satisfy. We remember our patroness, Saint Bernadette, back as a girl of 14, as she experienced those visions of the Virgin Mary in Lourdes. At the ninth vision, the ninth appearance, the Virgin Mary told her, "Drink from the stream and wash yourself in it. Drink from the spring." There wasn't a spring that she or anyone else could see, but she followed, she dug, and very soon the spring appeared that has brought healing to so many people in the century and a half since then. May we, like Saint Bernadette, follow the direction of the Virgin Mary, to dig, to put down our buckets, to turn to our Lord Jesus, discovering who he is, and that he can satisfy that thirst.